This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 123, Loving the Difficult Child. And today I want to thank our sponsor, mediaangels.com. Visit mediaangels for more information about books, classes, and the great creation novels. We really appreciate all the sponsors on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and really appreciate you guys for stopping in and listening and subscribing to this podcast at Vintage Homeschool Moms as well as others on the network. I mean, that is the best thank you you can give us besides praying for all of us and our families, and that is to go over to iTunes and to subscribe to the podcast as well as giving us a rating. That really helps us a lot. So I want to thank all of you who have done that already. So you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and I have some handouts I'm going to be giving you along with this talk. Loving the difficult child. I really picked a doozy here, didn't I, as a topic. But this whole month I've been talking about love and loving your spouse and just what is real love in general and God's love and all kinds of things along that line. So I really thought this would be a presentation that would help because it really helped me a lot with my difficult child. And I have 5 kids, in case you're listening for the first time and may not know anything about me. And I have a big gap between my 2 oldest and my 3 youngest. So I have kids who are in their 30s now, and then my youngest is 15, and the second youngest is 17, and then I have a 20-year-old, and then a 33-year-old, and a 35-year-old. And so when I started out as a parent, I started out as a very young parent and a very determined parent. And I have to say that, in thinking back on my life and my parenting, I would love to just do a do-over, especially with the first two. But I learned a lot about parenting, and when I parented my last 3 children, I found that I parented differently, and I parent my grandchildren. I know we're not supposed to parent our grandkids, but when they come to my house and I'm the only one home and I've got 6 little ones, 10 and under, it's difficult sometimes to, just be the loving grandmother and the spoiling grandmother I want to be, and I have to set some boundaries and limits. So in this presentation today, I really want to talk about some of the things that we set ourselves up for. And so we set ourselves up for failure as parents. We have in our minds this ideal of what we want our homes to look like, and by golly, we aren't going to be anything else but that. And we're not going to be like our moms or our dads or Aunt Agnes or poor cousin Joey. You know, we get upset when our children turn out to be disrespectful and argumentative, or maybe they have learning challenges like ADD or ADHD or autism. You know, maybe our kids are lazy or inattentive or fill in the blank here, and they won't listen. And a lot of us feel like, gosh, I can't believe my kids are acting like this after these are the best years of my life that I've given them. Okay, so maybe I'm being a little bit, exaggeration, there's a little exaggeration here, but you get the picture. Many of us are frustrated and burnt out and upset and suffering anxiety and depression, or, we just, like I shared with you, want a do-over. We want to parent our kids differently. And I felt like, in my life, I actually had a chance to do it over with the youngest 3. And so I found that I parented quite a bit differently. So a lot of times we have to, take a deep breath and then, ask ourselves some questions. And there are going to be some answers in this podcast. And I'm going to be real with you. My oldest was a handful. I remember him running around, misbehaving. He did have some learning challenges, and one of them was his failure to be able to articulate or tell me what he wanted. And so he was very speech delayed, and that caused a lot of problems. In fact, it wasn't until he was probably 3 or 4 years old that we started some intervention, because back in the day, we didn't do a lot of intervention as much so as what they do today. And so I had a background in learning disabilities and early childhood education, so I thought I was all set to have kids and to be able to parent them, because not only was I a mom, but I also was an educator, and I also had early childhood training. So, you know, of course, I was going to be an expert in this area. And so with Neil, it was very difficult. He couldn't tell me what he wanted, and he was a very solemn and serious little boy. In fact, I asked the doctor, you know, why is he not smiling? And I see all these babies smile, and Neil really didn't smile or laugh, like out loud belly laugh, until he was about, 7 or 8 months old. And Neil did things within, you know, his capacity to do them, and they were all within the verge of being in the quote unquote, you know, normal chart. And so the doctors really didn't have any, you know, alarms being set off. But as a mom, you know, we know. And so I had this struggle, you know, with my little son. And then when he was 2, I had another baby, and this was Miss Perfect, you know, and she was, you know, just this darling little child, and everything, you know, was perfectly charted, and she did everything early, if not, you know, right on time. And so she was able to talk and you know, clearly tell me things when she was 1. You know, we say Tina was born talking, but a lot like her mom, right? but, you know, it was almost impossible not to compare the two, and I promised I wouldn't. And, you know, life went on, and I had challenges and struggles, and I would really pray at times for God to give me the grace to love my son, because he was such a handful and so difficult in so many ways. And a lot of it, I know, was because he was learning challenged, and that was one of the reasons that we decided to homeschool. But Neil would do things that would be embarrassing to me, and I hate to even admit this, and maybe, you know, you're not like this at all. And like I said, I was going to be honest in this podcast. But I remember going to a field trip, and we had, I want to say, over 100 kids at the fire station. And my son always wanted to tell, you know, when he finally, I prayed he would talk, and, you know, yes, he was able to articulate things, and, you know, sometimes he wasn't very clear, so we would ask him again, and, you know, he would get frustrated at times, you know, that he, we couldn't understand him, and so he had a sister there that seemed to be able to translate for him. But I remember one time being on this field trip, and Neil was about 10, and he was bound and determined that he was going to ask a question. So, you know, it was a combination field trip with the policemen and the firemen together. And so it was this huge room, and it was packed with kids, and he insisted on raising his hand and asking this question. And I thought it was, you know, I always tell my kids there are no dumb questions, but in my mind, I was really thinking that was a dumb question. And thankfully, you know, the sergeant or whoever answered his question was really nice. And I, to this day, and Neil is now 35, I can tell you what the question was, because, you know, I, like I said, I was just mortified that he would even raise his hand with all these people in the room, because nobody will believe me when I say that I'm shy, because I have a podcast and I actually own the podcast network and I do public speaking. But really and truly, it's you know, something that the Lord has given me the gift to do, but it's not something that comes naturally to me, I don't think. And so anyway, I was mortified because I would never raise my hand in this big group. And, you know, if any of you went to school, we weren't going to embarrass ourselves and ask questions. So Neil's question was, do policemen ever pull over another policeman and give them a ticket if they've done something, you know, that, I mean, that was what he said. And the policeman goes, oh, you mean if he's done something wrong? And Neil said, yes. And And, you know, that's a really good question. And da da da. So, of course, Neil looked at me and there was no turning back. You know, we had created this person here who was now going to be asking questions everywhere. So I believe me when I say I learned humility, and I promised I wouldn't compare my kids. But of course, I was. And I really had to pray to love my son. And you know what? The Lord answered my prayers. And he is an amazing young man. And, you know, there are times when he's still very frustrating. But that is a prayer that God will answer. And I want you to, you know, answer some questions that I'm going to ask you, because I had to do some searching in my heart to understand why one child made me so angry and the other one didn't make me as angry, and what that was. You know, what was that root problem that I was having an issue with? And so, you know, I want you to be honest when you answer these questions, and even stop the audio and answer this. There's a handout at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com that will help you to, you know, fill it out if you would like to, or you can just, you know, jot these down and do it yourself. If you want the handout, it's at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, podcast 123. Loving the Difficult Child. Okay, so the first question is, number one, what do you fear the most as a parent? And number two, what are the classic behaviors or habits that upset you? Or you can fill in drive you crazy, if we're being real here. And number three, what is your reaction to said classic behavior or habit? And so, in the handout, I have two columns, and on one side, it has behavior or habit, and then a line across down the middle, and then the other side, it says reaction. So when we come right back, we'll go through these answers with you and go from there. We'll be right back. Are you looking for a Bible study for the entire family? Well, I created one after searching for months for a study that would encourage my family to have group discussions, teach life truth, as well as point to God as creator. So, since I couldn't find one, I created one, Homeschooling with Proverbs. I didn't want to zoom through the book of Proverbs in 1 month, as some suggest. Instead, I wanted to savor and meditate on the words and have the entire family on the same page. If you want a Bible study written for the entire family with specific audios and activities from pre-K to adult, look no further. This set can be used studying one lesson per month or completed in 9 months or sooner. The option is yours. In this set, you will find audios, printables, and when completed, you and your children will have a beautiful keepsake notebook. Visit homeschoolingwithproverbs.com for more information and begin studying the book of Proverbs. Allow God's word to speak to you. Hi and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms, and this is podcast episode 123, and it is Loving the Difficult Child. And so before we took a break, we went over some of the questions that I wanted you to answer on your own. And we're just going to go through these really briefly, because for me, understanding the root cause of my anger or what my reaction is really helps a lot. And in this podcast, we're not going to go through so much discipline techniques as much as we are going to just focus on the content, and that is, you know, just loving your child. I am going to do an entire episode on discipline, and there should be a link in this podcast that will bring you to those episodes. So again, you can find that at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. So the first is, what do you fear the most about being a parent? And, you know, for most of us, it's messed up kids or kids with emotional or psychological baggage. I mean, we've all, you know, met them, or maybe that's you, you know, that you've suffered at the hands of, you know, parents that maybe for one reason or another just didn't understand or weren't nurturing, or just, you know, we feel like, you know, they were horrible parents. And there are some out there. You know, we might be fearful that we are going to create kids that are never going to feel like they're good enough. And a lot of times, whatever it is that we're projecting onto our kids or what we are afraid they're going to turn out to be, we have to point the finger inward and see if this is something that we're suffering with. And if so, we need to understand that as well. You know, a lot of times parents come in with baggage and that they bring. And, you know, a lot of it through the years, I want to say, you know, become hazy or what we perceive things to be. And a lot of times it's not exactly, you know, correct. Or, you know, like I always thought my dad was very, very strict. And it turned out that, you know, he was strict, but it was for our benefit. And it wasn't that he was trying to be mean. But when you're a little kid, you just think, oh, my dad won't let me go to this party. He's being mean. My dad let me go to a party one time, and I didn't have the address, or I lost the invitation. Okay, this is before cell phones and all that kind of thing. And so my girlfriend said to me, well, I'll just meet you. This was after school. And I said, do you know your address? And she didn't. She goes, well, I'll just meet you on the overpass, and then you can just follow me back to my house and just have your dad drop you off. Well, I did that, and I told my dad, and my dad said, okay, be back here at 4 o'clock or whatever time it was supposed to be. Well, we were having such a good time at the party that my friend's mom forgot to let me know that it was time to go, and she got a call from my mother, who was frantic, and my mother did finally found the invitation and the phone number. And the poor lady, you know, walked me to the bridge and apologized to my dad, who was furious with me. And the first thing he said when I got in the car was, you will never go to another party again. So, of course, I had just had this wonderful time, and I'm sobbing, and I get home, and the house is, you know, it looked like it was, you know, in mourning, that I had been lost. And, you know, my parents thought I had been kidnapped because I wasn't there. And then my dad was going around the block and going crazy because he didn't know what house I was at. It was this whole huge misunderstanding in this ordeal. And for years, when I thought back on this, I looked back at this party with guilt, that I couldn't believe I was having fun and I could do this to my parents, because my parents really thought that I had been kidnapped. And so, true to his word, I did not go to a party for a very, very long time. So the point here is that, you know, as a kid, we see things so differently, and we carry this guilt. And my parents didn't mean to make me feel so guilty about this, but, you know, they were very, very overprotective after this point in my life. And so, you know, now I understand it, but as a kid, I didn't. I just thought they were very, you know, they just took it to, you know, an extreme. And so, you know, we're never going to get it right. We're never going to get it perfect. But we are going to do the best we can. And that's what I tell my kids. And that's the thing, moms and dads, don't struggle with guilt. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we fear, is that we're going to mess up our kids. So the second thing is, what are the classic behaviors or habits that drive you crazy or upset you? And, you know, it could be that your kids are inattentive, maybe they have ADD or ADHD, they're aggressive, impulsive, they, you know, get angry, they have learning difficulties, they're disrespectful, you know, on and on and on. And then the second part is, what is your reaction? So if my kids are inattentive and I'm trying to teach them something, that drives me nuts. You know, it just... It's like, you know, here I am, I'm giving you my time, we're trying to learn this, please pay attention. Anger and aggressiveness and impulsiveness, I'm going to actually go through all of these things and give you some, you know, really good ways to deal with these issues, because I am not a lenient parent. My husband and I parent differently, and that's also something I'm going to discuss in another podcast. But these are things that, you know, upset me. So whatever that is for you, I want you to keep that list, and we're going to go over that some more. But in this podcast, it was important that you identify that, you know, what these things are. And, you know, your reaction can be different. You know, you can have a meltdown, you can discipline in anger, you can be, you know, very disappointed in your child. I don't know how many times I've said that to my kids. Or whatever that is. And so you know, you have to look at that and recognize that, yes, you know, you've got these feelings and these things that need to be addressed, but how we act when these things happen are things that we can control. And so in this podcast, what we're going to cover is the hard part. I'm not going to get into the remediation again in this one. And actually, believe it or not, that's the easy part. You know, in the series of podcasts on discipline, that is not the hard part. The hard part is not being resentful, not being angry to the point where your heart hardens toward your child, and loving your child despite these issues. You know, again, I am not excusing bad behavior, nor am I minimizing that some of us have our hands full, to put it lightly. But what I am saying is that we are called to love. And that's, you know, love is patient, love is kind. I'm sure you guys know the verse in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And I'm going to read this later and we're going to examine it. But our first challenge, and this is my challenge to you, is to make a head decision. And a head decision means you're going to do it with your intellect, and it's not going to come to your heart right now, but that's okay. And that is to love your child no matter what. You know, we are going to love our child no matter what. And what I'm saying is that we have to remember, first of all, who we are and our responsibility. And yes, we are going to punish or reprimand or remediate or whatever. You know, explain the issue at hand, blah, blah, blah. But we have to remember that we are still called to love. And how are we going to love? By grace. By praying and understanding that we have a very special blessing, and we have received the something that we forget. And in fact, I know we forget this grace and blessing because our society wants us to think it's less of ourselves in this role, and we've been put down, we've been maligned, and in fact, jokes have been made about us. And what I am talking about is motherhood. You know, motherhood is one of the biggest blessings and graces that we have, and it is a God-given gift. You know, I know, you know, some of you may be listening, and you may be men, and I'm not discounting your role as a dad. And, you know, it's a very, very important role. In fact, we need the dad to become a mom. You know, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But that blessing that we have gotten from the Lord, the ability to have children, is an amazing blessing. It really is. And, you know, it is a God-given grace. He has given us that ability to have kids. And in motherhood, it transforms us into the people that God wants us to be, that care and that focus on others. God has given us a life that allows us to love and to forgive and to nurture. And it's something, you know, about this mercy that he has given us and this love that, you know, we have to remember. You know, in fact, it's amazing because, you know, we look at babies, and I know you've done this too, and you'll look at a baby and you'll say, oh my gosh, you know, that is not a very cute baby. And, you know, it's a big joke. Only a mother could love that child, you know, because, you know, the mother will say, oh, but look at my baby, you know, isn't she just so cute? And you're thinking, no, that baby is not really that cute. But it is something that God gives us. It's a grace. It is, you know, a blessing. And, you know, if you have had a hard time mothering, and it's so funny, I just talked to a friend of mine recently, and she said something to me about when we did this personality type thing for this business thing I'm doing for my husband. And she said, oh my gosh, you have so much nurturing in you. I don't have that mother gene. And she says, I tell my kids this and they know it. And you know, this is how it is. And I'm very strict and whatever. And I looked at her and I said, I am very nurturing. And it's not something that comes easily, or that, because I'm so darn bossy that I want to tell everybody how to do it. And my way, of course, is best. But I've had to learn that it is a gift that God has given me, and that this is a gift that I can pray for in, to access this grace by just praying for it. And this is I promise you, this is a prayer God will answer. You know, sometimes people turn their backs on this gift, and it's not too late if you're one of them. You know, we have this built-in response to love our child. Motherhood, again, transforms us into the people who can't, you know, who care and focus on others. And we forget ourselves, don't we? In this way, we come close to what the Lord wants for us. And as women, we are called in a super profound way to exhibit this mercy, this forgetfulness of self. You know, Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." Forgiveness is at the heart of this type of mercy. And that is why, dear sisters, we have such a hard time loving that difficult child. It is the root cause that we must address. It's not the behavior. It's not what they did. You know, we have to look at, why are we getting so angry, and why can't we forgive, and what is that that blocks us from loving this child? And once you figure that out, whatever that is, you will be able to love. And I will pray for you that, you know, that the Lord helps you to figure this out. You know, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:48. You know, love is patient, right? So we can make a list of this. And it's in another handout I have on the website. You know, love is patient. How are we exhibiting this? Love is kind. Again, jot down, you know, ways that you exhibit kindness. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And again, the greatest of these is love. And, you know, I need a big sign. So I created one. Again, that's on my website. I told you I had some handouts for you in this podcast, so you can grab it over at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And I needed this reminder that the greatest of these is love, because when I jotted down, you know, how am I patient, or how am I kind, or, you know, on and on, how am I not irritable? I had a hard time with that, because I can be very irritable and resentful. To me, one of the greatest things that sets me off is wasting time, because to me, time is so precious. And maybe as I'm getting older, time is becoming even more precious to me, because I see it, you know, fleeting at times, or, you know, it just seems like it's rushing by. And so when I'm working on something or doing things with my children or trying to teach them or homeschool them something and they don't want to listen, I am crushed to the core. It just hurts me, because I feel like, you know, they're wasting my time and wasting their time when we could be learning so much great stuff. But I have to understand, too, that, you know, it isn't easy for them. And I know it isn't easy for you. And maybe you're saying, but Felice, you don't know what I'm going through. And you're right. I don't know. But the one who knows all things has got this. And he does know what you're going through. He does hear your cries. And believe me, my life isn't perfect. My kids are not perfect. But I do know that God hears me and he helps me. In fact, so many instances came out of me praying about what I was going to record for this podcast. And one is going to a conference on womanhood, and it was amazing. And, you know, hearing these things, and that was what I was sharing with you about the blessing of motherhood. And the other is the friend of mine who just happened to share that, you know, she didn't have a mother gene in her, and me thinking, well, of course you do. You've just decided to suppress it because the businesswoman in you thinks that motherhood is weak. And so, you know, of course I didn't say this to her, but I do know that even if when I'm in the business world, I am going to be nurturing, and I have been, you know, kind of put down and been called, oh, you're such a mom. Yes, I am such a mom. I'm not your mom, and I'm not trying to be your mom. I'm just responding in a way that's very understanding. And so, you know, at times there is going to be those put downs and people are going to say, you know, you're just a pushover or something like that. But that's not true. And we have to know that motherhood is a gift. It is a blessing, that our kids are gifts and blessings, and that we have to trust in God, that He has given us the tools to handle this, and that we are called to be merciful to those people. Are you ready for this? That God has put in our lives. We didn't get to choose our families, did we? We didn't get to choose our kids and pick them out. But make no mistake, and God makes no mistake, that the child that you have is the child that you need, you know, to bring you on your knees, if it comes to that, and to realize our own sinfulness. And that's what I have had to do. I've had to repent before the Lord. I've had to ask my kids for forgiveness. I have had to realize that a lot of the problem was myself. Yes, my kids were misbehaving. Yes, they were talking back. Yes, to whatever crime they committed. But I also had to realize that my reaction was something that I could control. And when I was able to control my reaction, again, something I'm going to go over with in another podcast on disciplining, I found that the results were phenomenal. And I can't wait to share that presentation with all of you. Thank you so much for listening in. I hope that this podcast has been helpful to you. One of the things, again, you can do is share this podcast with a friend. Tell all the people you know on your Facebook page or whatever. You can share this podcast or email a link to this podcast to someone you know, or you know, tell others about it. Because I find people all the time who don't even know that we exist, that the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network is even out there. So anything you can do to help us is much appreciated. And remember to go to the podcast page and grab all your handouts there. They are available for you as a thank you from me to joining us today. So again, that is on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, podcast number 123, Loving the Difficult Child. Thank you so much, and God bless. And I will pray for all of you as you continue to parent the best you know how, and I will pray for your families. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and thevintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.